Shalom to all. Today's office is Shalom Sachem Dav Lamed, and we are starting right at the top of the Halacha Beis and Vilnsur Stavitz and Chav Vav on Beis. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Basim Yaakov Moshe Harnish Shama should have an Aliyah. And the Mishnah says Kayote Bay similarly, meaning similar to the previous Mishnah, that if one goes from one place to another, he might have to keep the chumas or both. This has to do with Shemitah. And before we continue, let's explain a little bit more. There's a din on Shemitah called beer. We know that all Shemitah produce that grows is completely hefker. You're allowed to benefit from it. You're allowed to take it for free. You don't have to pay anything for it. However, once it's not available for animals out in the field, you have to get rid of it. You have to mevire it from your house. And that obviously goes in stages because certain fruits and vegetables are still available while others aren't. And there's also certain regions where they're still available and other regions they're not available. So just depending on what the type is and where you are, depends on when you have to get rid of it from your house. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. If a person brings peres shvias from a place where they're already gone from the field for the animals and he brings them to a place where they're not gone from the field, or he brings from a place where they're not yet done to a place where they are finished from the field, chayv levayer. In both situations, he has to levayer them because he has to keep a chumra of the place where it came from or where the place he currently is located. However, Yehudah Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, no, if he came from a place where these fruits are still available, Omer, he could tell the people in the place that he's currently located in, save havei l'chafata, you should also go and bring for yourself. Even though over here they're not available, you can go to the place where I just came from and you can get these fruits. They're still there. You're still allowed to have them. There's no chayv beer. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, he does not have to be machmir on himself. I think Mara further explains, kol mi tiveria v'loi kol mi tzipayrin, if they're gone from tiveria but not from tzipayri, amar loi, he could tell him, meaning he could tell the people in tiveria, mi tzipayrin evesim, I brought them from tzipayrin. Em ein atma mineini, if you don't believe me, tzei v'havoi l'chafata, so you could also go bring for yourself from there, and that's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rav Chanan and Rav Pinchas say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, shnein amru davar echad, that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda say the same thing. Detenin taman, we've mentioned over there, this is Masechas Shvias, oichlin ala mufker v'ein oichlin ala shamar, a person's allowed to continue eating produce they have in their house as long as there's still hefker produce available out in the field, but not if there's shomer produce available. What does that mean, shomer? So as we said before, all Shemitah produce is completely hefker. It's growing in somebody's field. You could just walk in and take it. Now there's some people that are over Shemitah and they don't allow people to come to the field. They lock it up. They're shomer it. They guard it. And that's completely usher. And one really is not allowed to benefit from this fruit. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, is that a person is only allowed to continue eating the produce they have in their house if this produce is still available from hefker stuff, but not if it's still available from shomer stuff. If the only type of this produce is available is shomer, then he has to be mevayer from his house. Now Rabbi Yossi says, no, afal shomer, even if this produce is still available just by shomer, by somebody who is over the Isser Shemitah of keeping it, not a problem, you still don't have to take it out of your house. And it's the same conversation. Amarlon, he could tell the people around him, mina shomer vesim, I brought this from shomer, v'manat maminani. If you don't believe me, hare saw the plain mishumar sefonecha, that fellow's field, it's shomer, it's in front of you, tseva havel chafato. You could also go to that fellow's field and get produce from there. And so we see that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda hold the same thing. Moving on to Halacha Gemel, we continue to discuss a minig in this place or a minig in that place regarding something. The Mishnah tells us, Makam Shenagu Limkar Behema Daka Lagayim Meichrin. Makam Shenagu Shaloi Limkar Ein Meichrin. If it's a place where the minig is to sell small animals like sheep and goats to non-Jews, so one could sell them, and if it's a place where the minig is not to sell them, so we don't sell them, and the Gemara is going to discuss why exactly there would be such a minig. And V'ayishan Adam Minah Machlaikas, a person should not change because of Machlaikas. Now, B'chol Makam, in all places, says Mishnah, meaning whether or not there's a minig to sell small animals, no selling large animals. Also, agal musyachim, calves and colts, meaning even though it's not yet a large animal, it's still a baby, still it's not allowed to be sold. And also, shleim ushvurin, not only if it's whole, if it's perfect, it's not allowed to be sold, even if it's broken, it's not allowed to be sold. And we're going to explain this all in the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Yehuda mata b'shvura, Rabbi Yehuda allows a shvura animal to be sold, and ben b'seira mata b'sos, ben b'seira allows a horse to be sold. Now, the Gemara begins by talking about small animals, and asks the following question, mota l'gadol, does this mean that it's permitted to raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael? We have a memra that tells us that you're not allowed to raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael because they wander around freely and they end up eating from other people's fields. So you can't raise small animals anyway. How is the Mishnah discussing a place that there's a minhag to sell them or to not sell them? You shouldn't be raising them in the first place if you're a yid. And the answer is Amrav Ba, Kigain, for example, Mahir, which is an area, it's like a big open no man's land, Shehu Shisha Asar Mil, it's 16 mil by 16 mil. A person could raise small animals over there because they're able to graze freely in this whole area. As we said, it's a no man's land, it's hefker, it's not an area of fields where we're afraid that the small animals are going to go into other people's fields, and therefore in this whole region it is permitted to raise these animals. And this is just one of the examples of how it could be where a yid has a small animal and there's this minhag either to yes or to not sell small animals to non-Jews. Now from Bayim Memer, they want to say as follows, Manda Amar Mutar Limkar Mutar Liyached, or is Manda Amar Asar Limkar Asar Liyached. According to Manda Amar, the ones allowed to sell small animals to non-Jews, so the same one holds that it's mutter for a non-Jew to be miyached with a yid's animal, and the one that says that it's usher to sell it, it's usher for the non-Jew to miyached. And that's because it seems to me that these shitas line up with each other. However, B'yayna quotes her blazer, says B'shem Rav, that no, v'afilu k'mandomer mutar limkar, usher liyached. Even according to Mandomer, that's permitted to sell a small animal to a non-Jew, it's still usher for the non-Jew to be miyached with the yid's animal. Why is that? Ma ben limkar, ma ben liyached. What's the difference between selling and the non-Jew being miyached with the yid's animal? And that's because lamano beza on top, taman over there, mikimin shu meicherloi, since he's selling the animal to the non-Jew, that is the non-Jew's animal. It's the yid's animal, and the non-Jew is chashud. What does this mean? So actually, non-Jews are chashud that they're going to have relations with their animal. Now, if it's their animal, they're not going to do that because it actually ruins the animal. It's only if it's somebody else's animal that we suspect them of having relations with it. So therefore, everybody holds that a yid has to make sure that his animal is not beyichud with a non-Jew. But if he wants to sell him his animal, that's a possibility because, again, once the non-Jew owns the animal, he's not going to have relations with it. I'm going to explain the next part of Mishnah. If it's a place where the minhag is to not sell small animals, so don't sell them. And now the Gemara asks Lama, why would they not sell small animals to non-Jews? And so answer is, because now he's taking it out of the din of Giza. We know that the first shearings of wool from a sheep go to a kayin. Now that he's selling the sheep to a guy, he's being mighty it, taking it out of this ability to do this mitzvah to give the first shearings to the kayin. So that's why there's a reason not to sell it. Ask the Gemara, think about it, what about if it's an aiz? It's a goat. The whole din of the first shearings is only by female sheep, not by a goat. So why would there be a minhag not to sell goats to non-Jews? And the answer is, that's because taking out of the possibility of being a bechor, firstborn animal, when this aiz has a baby by a non-Jew, so he's not going to be able to give that firstborn to the kain. So that would be a reason not to sell it. Ask the Gemara, what about if it's a male? There's no din of bechor by a male. And the answer is, because he's taking it out of din of matonis. We know when a person shechts an animal, he wants his meat for Shabbos or Yontif or backyard barbecue during the summer, he has to give Zeroya L'chayim and Keva, three different parts of the animal to the kain. And now that he sells it to the non-Jew, he's being mighty it, taking it out of the ability to give those things to the kain. Ask the Gemara, Miata, if that's so, if that's your svara, then chitin al yim karloi, a yid shouldn't sell wheat to a non-Jew, shemitzim mide chala, because now he's taking it out of the din of chala. When the guy makes it into dough, he doesn't have to separate chala and give it to a kain. And yain v'shamin al yim karloi, he shouldn't sell wine or oil to a non-Jew, shemitzim mide bracha, because now he's taking it out of a bracha. When the non-Jew drinks it, he's not going to be making a bracha on it, as opposed to when the yid has it, he would be making a bracha on it. And the Gemara ends off in a question, and the reason why he doesn't answer it is because really, due to gzeira, maybe he's going to end up selling a big one. And that's what we get onto right now. In all places, no selling a large animal to a non-Jew. And the Gemara asks, what's the difference between a large animal and a small animal? The answer is, a large animal, one can come to a chiyuv chatos, whereas a small animal, there is no chiyuv chatos. Meaning a large animal has malachos that if a yid does that malacha with the animal, he would be chayv a chatos, and therefore he's not allowed to sell it to a guy, as opposed to a small animal, there's no malachos that a yid could do with that small animal that he'd be chayv a chatos for, and so that's why there's not necessarily an isser to sell the small animal to a non-Jew. Ask the Gemara of Einuchel v'Einu Geizes, what, milking and shearing an animal is not a chiyuv chatos? If a yid milks or shears an animal on Shabbos, he would be chayv a chatos for that, and that's done even to a small animal. So the answer is no. Taman, who mischayev? Bram hacha, he mischayeves. Over there, he's chayev. Whereas over here, it is chayev. What does this mean? So specifically in regards to Shabbos. Let's continue the Gemara, and we'll explain it in a couple lines. Ask the Gemara of Akimet Shu Meicholoi, since he's selling the animal to the non-Jew, loy behemte shal gaihi, isn't that considered the non-Jew's animal? So what does that mean? We're going to run into an issue of chiyuv chatos. It's the non-Jew's animal, so there's no chiyuv chatos that the yid could possibly be over. And on this, Amar Rav Yimi Bavlaya, B'shem Rabban Taman, Rav Yimi Bavlaya, says the name Rabban over there, the Rabban of Bavel, that pa'amim shu meicholoi l'nisayon, sometimes he's going to sell it to him for trial, v'machzir loy l'achar shloisha yamim, and he's going to return it after 3 days, v'nimsa over avera behemte shal Yisrael, turns out he was over an avera with the animal of Yisrael. This is what we call a return policy. The yid is going to sell his animal to the non-Jew. The non-Jew says, look, I don't know if it's a good animal. I don't know if it's right for me, if it's a thing that I need. So let me have it for 3 days. That's the trial period. And after 3 days, I'm going to decide. And then he says, you know what? I don't want your animal. So it turns out that really this was the yid's animal the whole time. The guy had it on Shabbos, though, and he was doing work with it on Shabbos. And that's a problem because the yid has a chiv of shvises behemte on Shabbos. As the Gemara me'at, if that's so, l'nisayin aser, sh'l'nisayin mutar. So it should be aser to sell an animal to a non-Jew for trial. But if it's not for trial, it's a 100% sale, it should be permitted. And the answer is, zum b'nei zu, this is because of that. And that's our final answer. In other words, the reason why it's usher to sell a large animal to a non-Jew is because we're afraid that the yid is going to end up renting or lending his animal to the non-Jew. He's going to end up having it over Shabbos and do malacha with it then. As we just said, a yid has a chiv of shvises behemtoi. He has to make sure that his animal rests on Shabbos and doesn't do malacha. And now we can understand the Gemara from a few lines prior when it says, taman hu meschayev, Bram Hacha, Himis Chayeves, that's the difference between a large animal and a small animal. A large animal, when the guy does malacha with it, that's the yid's problem. Who mischayev? That falls on the yid because it's his animal doing malacha. As opposed to when it's a small animal, which is just getting milked or shorn, even if that's done on Shabbos by the non-Jew, since the malacha is being done to the animal, it's not the animal doing malacha, but something's happening to the animal, so that's something that the yid would not be chayev for. And that's why, once again, we have this issur of selling a large animal to a non-Jew, because maybe he's not going to end up selling it to him, but he's just going to end up being by the non-Jew for Shabbos. He's going to have doing malacha with it, and that's the yid's issue. And then what continues, Avru Macher Kainsin Bai, if he was over and he sold it, we kenas him, and we make him buy it back from the non-Jew. Just like we kenas him in regards to the halacha of the issur of selling a large animal, we also kenas him in regards to the minig, that if he's in a place where the minig is to not sell a small animal, and he sells one to the non-Jew, he has to buy it back from him as well. Now, when non-Jew kenas him by halacha, that's proper girsa. How do we know that halacha we kenas him? Meaning, in regards to halacha of selling a behema gasa to a non-Jew, that we kenas him, not in regards to the minig of behema daka, but in regards to the halacha of behema gasa. That's from a story. There was a person who sold a camel to an Aramean, also of the Kumi Rav Shimon ben Lakish. This came in from Rav Shlakish. And he knassed him with double in order that he should return his camel to him, which means Rav Shlakish told him that you have to go to that guy and buy the camel back from him. Even if he charges you double price, you have to do whatever you can to buy it back from him. Now, Rav Yisrael Bon, he has a different explanation of what happened here. Lasarsar Kanas. This fellow wasn't even the owner of the animal. He was a sarsar. He was a middleman. He would arrange a sale between the seller and the buyer. And nonetheless, he was kenas by Rish Lakish. And they called him Barad Masarsal Aramah, a person who's a middleman for an Aramean. The Gemara Lamed Alpha Lamed Alpha on top continues. Myrib Shem Lakish Krib Yuda. We see the Rish Lakish just like Krib Yuda. Ditani B'Shem Krib Yuda. We have Brassan and Krib Yuda. Halakech Behema Im Hagai. That's proper girsa. If a person buys an animal with a guy, he's a partner with the guy in this animal. And this is specifically talking about a donkey, the Yalda Bachar, and it gives birth to a firstborn. This is called Pidyon Petach Hamar. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. So what does the Yid do? He owns part of the animal, which is Chayv and Pidyon, but the other half of the animal he doesn't own. It's the guy's, so it's not chayv and pidyon. He has to make an evaluation for its true value, and he gives half of its value to the kain. However, let's say it was the yid's animal, and he gave it to the guy. He contracted with the guy that you're going to raise my animal, and we're going to split all the profits. So let's say my animal gives birth to a baby, you get 50% of it, and then it gives birth to a bechar. He has to make an evaluation of even 10 times its worth. He has to give all that money to the kain. And so we see from here the Rabbi Yehuda's machmir that since he enabled the non-Jew to have a partnership in this bechar, we can ask him to buy the whole thing off of the non-Jew, even if it's for way more than its value. Now, Bacham say that no, since the finger of the guy is in the middle, meaning since the guy has a partnership in this, it's pata from bechar in the first place. And what do we see from here? Rabbi Shimon Lakish Krib Yuda, v'rabam in Rabbi Yehuda. Rish Lakish is like Krib Yuda, and he's actually more than him, because Madam Rabbi Yehuda Misham Hilchas Bechayra. All Rabbi Yehuda said is in regards to bechar. Since the yid has a partnership with a guy in this firstborn animal, we can ask him to buy it off of the guy for as much as necessary. Whereas Ma'ad Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Mishum Hilchas Behema Gasa, what Rish Lakish was saying is the halachas of Behema Gasa, not selling a large animal to a non-Jew, that's not a deraisa like a Bechar is, and nonetheless, we see the Rish Lakish knasses him. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.